Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Nun Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, in the middle of the first line, Tana Rabbanan. The Rabbanan teach us, the pasuk says regarding the Ketores, V'nasan as a Ketores, alo eish lifnei Hashem, the Ketores should be put on the fire in front of Hashem, shlo yisakim v'chutz v'yachnes. So the Braisa teaches us that the Torah is teaching us that we should not, the Kohen Gadol should not prepare the Ketores and the coals outside in the Kodesh, in the Chutz, in the Kodesh, for Yachnis, and enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim with them already prepared. Rather, they should be prepared lifnei Hashem in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. L'hoitzi milivan shel tzedokim. This comes to say different than what the tzedokim shomrim used to say, that yisakim v'chutz, that the Torah should be prepared outside of the Kodesh Kedoshim and the Kodesh V'yachnes, and that's how they should be brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. My Dorish, what is the basis of the Drosha of the Tzedokim? Because they say, the Pasuk says, Ki ba'onon a royal kapiris, I will be already seen through a cloud. That means when entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there should already be a cloud. Melamed Sakim v'chutz v'yachnas. The Torah should be prepared outside, and that's how it should be brought in. Omalam Chachomim. So the Chachomim say to the Tzedokim, how could you learn Pshat and Pasuk that way? V'lai kva nemar, doesn't it say in the Pasuk, V'nosan asak Torah al eish lifnei Hashem? The Torah should be put on the fire lifnei Hashem. So the Tzedokim say back, what is Pshat? Imke matam loima ki be onon aral kapiris, which seems to indicate that when entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Kohen Gadol should already have the Torah prepared. Says the Chachamim, that pasuk teaches us a different din. That pasuk teaches us Malamit Shinoisim by Mala Oshin. In the recipe of the Ketores, there should be this herb which causes the smoke to go up. We'll speak about that later. Umanayin Shinoisim by Mala Oshin. How do we know that Mala Oshin should be put into the Ketores? Shinemar V'chisa Anan Aktores Asakapiris. There should be smoke, and that smoke comes through the Mala Oshin. The Gemara will ask, why we need two psukim to teach us the Mala Oshin should be included in the Ketores? Halay nosim ba Mala Oshin. If Mala Oshin was not put into the Ketores, or shechis ach b'kosav now, if any of the other spices were left out of the preparation of the Ketores, chayiv misa, then zachiv misa. And like Rashi says, the way we know that the every one of the samamonim of the spices that when the Ketores must be in there, because the pasuk says ha Ketores, the extra hay comes to teach us that every one of the spices must be in there. The Beis Yosef quotes a Rishon, the Mari Avuhav, who says that when one says Parshas Ketores, he should be careful to say it from a siddur, because if Chas V'Sholem he skipped saying one of the Samamonim that are listed, Al Gemara says Chayiv Misa. And in fact, the Ramah quotes that Mari Avuhav, and he says that's why the minig is in certain places that they only say Parshas HaKetores on Shabbos, when a person is able to daven properly from a siddur, to make sure never to omit saying one of the samamonim listed in the Ketores. The Beis Yosef himself disagrees and says that Ketores, Parshas HaKetores, should be said every day. Firstly, he says, Al Gemara is speaking about the actual offering of the Ketores. Where there the halach is that you're not allowed to miss any of the spices. The Gemara is now referring to davening. Moreover, says the Beis Yosef, that skipping one of the spices, skipping the Malashon is not an issue, he says. Why? Because he quotes a Gemara that we learned at Daf Lamed Ches. The Gemara said in Daf Lamed Ches that when the Beit Aftinas, the family of Aftinas who prepared the Ketores, didn't want to teach anyone how to prepare the Ketores, they brought craftsmen from Alexandria, from Egypt. And the Gemara says that they weren't able to duplicate what Beis Aftinas did until ultimately they brought Beis Aftinas back to the position. What weren't they able to do? They weren't aware of what the Malashon is. So we see, says the Beis Yosef, that the Malashon is not critical. Ask the Mefarshim on the Beis Yosef, our Gemara just taught us that the Malashon is crucial. The Gemara just taught us is Chayiv Misa. So there are two answers given in explaining the Beis Yosef. One is that the Beis Aftinas had the Malashon. However, the Malashon that they had was not able to go up straight like a stick, which we will learn about. But they, of course, had an ingredient that made the Ketores have smoke emanate from it. And therefore, Imchis Achas Mechos Menea is skipping the Malashon, certainly to Zechi Misa. The Mishnah Melech explains differently. He says, Al Gemara is speaking about Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the Torah is makbid that every one of the ingredients of the Torah be there, and if it's missing, Chai Misa. However, the Gemara and Daf Lamed Ches is speaking about all year round, and there, Imchis Achas Mechos Menea, there is no Chiyiv Misa. But typically, ask the Gemara, why does the Torah have to say that if somebody goes into the base, if the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKodeshim with a Torah that wasn't prepared properly, he's Chayiv Misa for that? He should be Chayiv Misa, the Kamayo be Rekonis. He's going into the Kodesh Kodesh for no purpose. For as we have learned, one may only enter the Kodesh HaKadoshim and even the Kodesh for proper purpose. This person who's entering the Kodesh HaKadoshim without the proper Ketores has no right to go in. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachim Ma'iskinen, what is the case that the Gemara is referring to? Kigon Sheshogag Be'Bia, where he went in, he didn't realize that you're not allowed to go in for out of purpose. So he can't be Chai Misa for that, because it's only a shaygig. However, v'hezebek Torah, in terms of making the Ketores without the proper formulation, that was amazing, and that's why it's Chai Misa. Rav Ashi says a different explanation. Afil tamer hezeb bezu bezu. He was amazed both in going in for no purpose and not preparing the Ketores properly. However, it's talking in a situation, k'goyim to ayel shtei ha'Ketores. He took in two Ketores, two portions of Ketores, like the Miri says. Let's say he didn't bring the Ketores in the morning, so now he has to bring two portions, one for the morning Chiyiv and one for the Yom Kippur Chiyiv. Acha Shlema, one was prepared properly. Vach Chaser, but one didn't have all the ingredients. Abia Loi Mechayiv, so he can't be Mechayiv him for going in for no purpose, because he did go in for a purpose, to bring the proper Ketores. However, when the Ayla Shlema, he's brought in the one portion of full-fledged Ketores. However, Ketor Mechayiv, when he burns the Ketores that doesn't have all the ingredients, for that it's Chayiv to come back to Ketores Chaserah, because he brought a Ketores that's not proper. So the Ritva, based on the explanation of the Avdi Nezer, says that our Gemara is speaking about a situation that he brought in, he first was makter the Ketores Chaserah. He first brought the Ketores that is missed, that wasn't the proper Ketores, and then he brought the Ketores Shleima. For says the Avni Nezer, if first he's going to be makted the Ketores Shleima, so then while he's remaining there with the Ketores Chaseira, there will be both a problem of Birikonis and Ketores Chaseira. Only if he makted the Ketores Chaseira first, so therefore he still is remaining in the Beis Hamikdash, because ultimately he's going to be bringing the Ketores Shleima, which there is, which is proper. Therefore, there's no Chiyuv Birikonis. Dafika Yam disagrees with Avni Nezer. And the Fikah Yam says it makes no difference which one was first or which one was second. If he brought in both of them, Shleiman Chseira, he won't be chayy for birukonis. The Fikah Yam also asked the Kasha that why doesn't the Gemara explain that we're dealing here with a situation that the person entered the Beis HaMikdash derech Meshupish, not through the front entrance, which we have learned that a person is not chayif for entering the Beis HaMikdash for no purpose, only if he walks through the front entrance. But here, let's explain that he walks through derech Meshupish, so he won't be chayif for birakonis. So the Afikah Yam says, in the name of the Kedushas Yontif, a Sefer Kedushas Yontif, he explains that in such a case, one would not be chayif for Keteris Chaseira also. He says the only time one would be chayif for Keteris Chaseira is when one entered the proper way and then didn't offer the Keteris properly. But if he didn't enter the Beis HaMikdash correctly, he would not be chayif for Keteris Chaseira. The Gevuras Ari says just the opposite. He says if someone enters the Beis HaMikdash, derech Meshupish, not through the front entrance, and then he brings the Keteris, even if the Keteris that he brings is perfect, he still wouldn't be chayiv for not having brought the Keteris properly. He explains, since the Torah says that one should enter the Beis HaMikdash through the front entrance, it says v'hevi amibayis l'v'proiches, entering the Beis HaMikdash not that way, even though the Keteris in every other way is perfect, he would be chayiv. The Shagas Arya asks, why didn't the Gemara give a different answer? The Gemara could have said that why didn't the Gemara ask that there's a chiyuv here for Havara? That if somebody brought the Keteris and the Keteris isn't the proper recipe and he's burning on Yom Kippur, for he had no right to offer such Keteris, so it's Havara Shaloi L'Tzairuf. So the Shagas Arya attempts to answer that the Gemara could have asked that question. Yes, the Gemara is referring to questions that are relevant to Yom Kippur, to the avoid of the Keteris. The question regarding making a fine Yom Kippur is not strictly related to Keteris. However, the Shagas Arya in the Meluim, in the back of the Sefer himself, indicates that that Teretz is not really a valid Teretz. The Stipel in the Kilas Yaakov gives two other answers. He says that the Medrash says that Aaron HaKohen was permitted to enter the Kodesh Kedoshim not only on Yom Kippur but every day of the year, provided that he performed the avoid of Yom Kippur. So if that's the case, our Gemara could be speaking about during the year. It's not Yom Kippur, it's not Shabbos, so there is no Isser to make a fire. Yet if he brought in Keteris Chaseira, the Fisher Keteris, Chayiv Misa. The Stipel gives another answer. He says that making a fire on Shabbos, we know that one is only chayiv when he does Malachas Machsheves, a constructive act. Making a fire for a Keteris, which isn't a Keteris that we're supposed to bring, is a destructive act. And that's why he's potter. The Mefarshim asking on the Stipler that there are Manda Omrim that say that Havara is an exception to the rule, and even when it's done in a destructive fashion, one is chayiv on Shabbos. So what's Pshat and the Stifler's answer? So they explain that even the man, the Omrim that hold that Havar, you're always chayiv, even when it's destructive, will agree that if it's a malachish and it's tzrich l'gufa, you're potter. And this burning would certainly be a destructive malachish and it's tzrich l'gufa, that everybody would agree one is potter. Continues the Gemara, Amamar, we learned in the Brice that we began the shiur with, that the Brice is a Menayin Shnosim Boy Mal Oshin. How do we know that Mal Oshin should be included in the Torahs? Tamloim V'chiso. Ask the Gemara, we already had a Pasuk that taught us that you have to put on Mal Oshin, because it says, Kibi Onan Eroel Kapyrus. Krol Kar. Do we need two Psukim to teach us the same din? Om Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef explains, Hachakam, this is the way you understand the Brice. Ainly alei maloshin. I will only know that you're allowed to use the leaf of the herb that causes the smoke. Ika maloshin v'nayim. How do we know that one can use the root also, the root of that herb? Tamalayim v'chisa. Amalei abaya. So the way asks abaya, the way you're explaining is that it's preferable to use the leaf, but you may also use the root. ask the Beit Rabbi Yosef of Tanya. We learn just the opposite of the Braisa, because the Braisa says the Tanya, Nosim by Ikam Al Oshin. What was the avoider of the Kohen Gadol? He put in the root. They went up straight like a stick. Until it reached the ceiling. Kim Shigilik Mekaira, once it reached the ceiling, Mishamish Vyarbiksom, it went down the walls. Achnus Malabayas Oshin, until the entire room, the Kaish Kadoshan, was full of smoke. Shnem Vabayas Shimolai Oshin, the whole room was full of smoke. So we see that they used the root. Elamabayah Hakkam, this is the way to understand. Anyway, El Ikamala Oshin. I would only know that one should use the root. Ale Mala Oshin and Ayin, how do we know that one may use the leaf also, Tamlan Vachisa, that the leaf is also acceptable. Rav Sheshes is a different term. Only El Oil Moichu and Midbar. I would only know that there's a chiv to add Mala Oshin in the Mishkan. Shiloi Ubeis Oilom and Menayim. How do we know that the same Adin applies in Shiloi and the Beis HaMikdash? Tamloimer Vachisa. Ask the Gemara, that Din, the Mala Oshin has to be added no matter where the we are. We learn it from that pasuk. This is the way to understand. I would only know the Mala Oshin should be added in Yom Kippur. How do we know the rest of the year Mala Oshin should be included? That I learned from the word V'chisa. This teretz certainly is not like what the Mishnah Lamelech explained in Beis Yosef, that he drew a distinction between Yom Kippur and the rest of the year obligation to use Malashin. Ravashi says, Chav le mitzvah. One pasuk tells us that it's a mitzvah to add Malashin. V'chad, and the other pasuk teaches La'akiv, that it's essential and cannot be skipped. Ask Tosis that the avoid of Tyrus is an avoid of Yom Kippur. And in Yom Kippur, we know that the Torah uses the word chukah. And whenever the Torah uses the word chukah, it means it must be done. So why do I need another pasuk to teach me that the Mala Oshin is essential? So Tosfos answers, for Yom Kippur alone, I taka wouldn't need a pasuk to teach me that the Mala Oshin is essential. Everything involving Yom Kippur in any avoid in the Kodesh HaKadoshim is la'akiv. The la'akiv is talking about the rest of the year. Tosfos Yishonim says a different answer. Tosfos Yishonim says that preparing the Torah is not an avoid that was done on Yom Kippur. It's an avoid that was done prior to Yom Kippur. That's when the Torah was prepared. And therefore, it's not included in the Pasuk of Chukah, which describes avoidus of Yom Kippur. And I need another Pasuk. Rav Amar says a different answer. Chad L'Oynish, one Pasuk is talking about the penalty for missing out one of the ingredients. The Chad Lazaron wanted to teach us that there's a lav, because we know that every Isser in the Torah, there has to be an Azhara, a warning, and another Pasuk teaching us to Oynish, the punishment. Tanya, and the Gemara brings a Brice around Rava's explanation. Rav Elazar says, the Pasuk says, V'lo Yomus, if somebody leaves out one of the ingredients of the Torah, is V'lo Yomus, he shouldn't die, he won't die if he doesn't leave it out. He will die, Chas V'Shalom, if he leaves it out. That's the Pasuk that teaches us to Einish. Kibbe Anon, Aroah, and the Pasuk that teaches us that I want to be seen in a cloud, that is Daz Horah, that is the Pasuk that teaches us the warning if to leave it out, not to leave it out. Yochli Yeshneim Amurim, Kodim Misa B'nei Aaron. I would think that both the Azhara, not to omit one of the ingredients, and the Einish, if one omits one of the ingredients, were mentioned before the Petir of Aaron, of the children of Aaron. We know that Nadav and Avihu died on the day of the inauguration of the Beis Amig, of the Mishkan. Tamalayim Achim Moshneim Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says this after the Mitzvah Bnei Aaron. So Yochli Yeshneim Amurim Achim Shnei Bnei Aaron. I would say that both were mentioned, were taught us only after Aaron's children died. Tamalayim Kibbe Onan in Royal Kippuris, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be seen with a cloud. This was said before the Mishkan was inaugurated, before the death of the children of Aaron, before the death of Nadav Avihu. Haketzet, as horror, the warning was given. Kaidem Misa for Einish, but the pasuk telling us the punishment for leaving out one of the ingredients was set achamisa. My Talmuda, how do we know that the warning was given before they actually died? Amar Rava, Amar Kra, like we explained, the pasuk says ki be onanai ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says I will be seen in a cloud. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said this, it was v'adayin lo nira, it was before HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually appeared, which means before the death of Aaron's sons, because by the time they died, HaKadosh Baruch Hu already had been seen. They died and the Ketores had already been brought. Velamai Tama Anish. So ask the Gemara, if according to this, Aaron's children were not told of the Einish, if one omits one of the ingredients of the Ketores, if it was only given after they died, it can't be that they died because they omitted an ingredient from the Ketores. So why did they die? My Tam Enish, why would they die? Ketan Yerbeleza Omer, Leinosim Neharon, the only reason Aaron's children were died, Elisha Elahar Elocha, Moshe Ne Rabbim. They said Elocha in front of their Rebbe Moshe. My Dorosh, what was the halacha that they said that they didn't hear from their Rebbe? The Pasuk says, Nosim Neharon, Kahanim Eish Amzbeach, and they learned, Avi Sheish Yeredis Menashemayim, even though fire comes down from Shemayim, mitzvah lahavi ben hedyot, it's a mitzvah to bring your own fire. And like the Mefarshim explain, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our actions. He doesn't only want everything to come in a Shemayim, he wants to see us contribute and participate. And that's why mitzvah lahavi ben hedyot. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim says that actually we already see this by the Akedah that Avram Avinu brought the Yikach B'yadai Es HaEish. It doesn't say v'yikach b'yodei eish, v'yikach b'yodei eso eish, the fire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, our fire, our contribution. The Mefarshim ask, what's the Gemara saying that the Bnei Aharon expounded a pasuk by themselves? It's not a drasha, it's an explicit pasuk. The pasuk says, v'nosim le'aron kahanim eish al mizbeach, that they should bring their own eish. So what's wrong if they say pshat? If they just taught us what's an open pasuk, so a number of answers are given. One answer is, since this was the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, perhaps on this day an eish should not be brought from a hedyot. Maybe this day we should only rely on the fire from Shemayim. That's what they shouldn't have learned on their own. Others explain that this fire that the pasuk is referring to is the fire on the Mizbeach HaChitzin. But they brought fire to the Mizbeach HaPnimi. That the Pasuk isn't discussing. That they learned on their own, which they shouldn't have done. They should have learned from their Rebbe Moshe. Another pshat is that they learned from even something which is so explicit. One has no right to learn and explain in the place where he has his Rebbe, in the place where they had their Rebbe Moshe Rabbeinu, without learning it from Moshe. Don't do it on your own. And that's the halacha, that one may not paskin a shaila in the place where his Rebbe is, under any circumstances, in a place where his Rebbe isn't present, that the Gemara discusses how far that really means. One may only paskin a shaila with reshus from his Rebbe, which they obviously didn't have, and that's why the Gemara says they died. It's interesting that the Arches Chaim and the Hagos Maimonis say that in our world it's somewhat the same and somewhat easier and somewhat more stringent. They say since nowadays there are so many sforim printed that explain all of the various halachas that are explicit, one could paskin a shaila even without reshus from his Rebbe, or even perhaps in the place where his Rebbe is, not if his Rebbe is right there, but if it's not, his Rebbe is not right there available, if he could, because he has the Svarim that tell us and teach us how to do and what to do. However, they explain that one should only rely on that. One, on the other hand, we have this heter of relying on Svarim, but we have to look into the Sefer. One cannot rely on the heter of Svarim if he doesn't look into the Sefer. So the Gemara here says that the reason Nadav and Avihu died was because of this drasha. However, in various midrashim, there are many other reasons. Tosfos here and other midrashim quote many other reasons why Nadav and Avihu possibly died. One is that they went into Kodesh HaKadoshim. Another reason is that they brought a carbon that they weren't supposed to. Another reason is that they brought the fire, but they brought it from an inappropriate source. Another is that they were Shesuya Yayin, that they had drunk wine beforehand. Another is that they didn't do Kiddush Yudayim Raglayim before they entered the Beit HaMikdash. Another reason is that they never got married and had children. Another is that they looked at the Kodesh while they were indulging in food and drink. Another is that they walked behind Moshe and Aaron, and they said, when will these elders, Moshe and Aaron, die, and we will take over the leadership of Klal Yisrael? So the Mishnah continued and said, Yotzu Bolei Derek Nisasa. When the Kohen Gadol leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he should walk out backwards facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Ask the Gemara, Menonim Mili, how do we know? And the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question is that since the Torah tells us that they're supposed to walk out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Yotzu, he should go out. The Yotzu means he should walk out in the right direction. And therefore, ask the Gemara, how do we know that doesn't work out that way? Amr Ashvuba Nachmeni, Amr Abyochan, Amr Kra. The passage says regarding Shlomo HaMelech. V'yava Shlomo Labama, Asher Begiven V'Yushlaim. Shlomo came to offer carbon, carbonos, on the Bama, which was given in Yushlaim. Ask the Gemara, V'chimayin, given it's Yushlaim. Given is not Yushlaim, Yushlaim is not given. The Torah is comparing when he left Given to go back to Yerushalayim, to the way he traveled from Yerushalayim to Given. When he traveled from Yerushalayim to Given, Panov Klape Banov Bama Kedar Biyosai, he was facing Bama Given as he was traveling there. Af Yitziyosim Given Yerushalayim, so too when he left Given to return to Yerushalayim, he walked backwards, still facing Given. The Ken Kohanim B'Vedasim, the same when a Kohen does the Avodah. The Leviim B'Duchanim, and when the Leviim sing on the Duchan. The Yisrob and Mamadam, as we explained, the Gemara Masech, the Tainus says that a person is supposed to be there when he brings his carbon. So every day the Karbonos Seber were brought. So how could everybody be there? So there were people called Mamadais, who represented Klal Yisrael. Kshinaftarim, when they would leave their Avoida, Loya Machzirim Panayim V'Holchem, they wouldn't turn around and leave. El Mechzadidim Panayim V'Holchem, they would walk out sideways. They came Talmud HaNiftim Rabbi, the same with Talmud that leaves his Rabbi. Loyachs upon a V'Yelech, he shouldn't walk out facing backwards. El Mechzadidim Panayim V'Holchem, he should turn his face sideways. And the Mishnah Lamelech says the reason he faces sideways is because he shouldn't hurt himself. He walks completely backwards. He could trip or hurt himself. Kihad Rav Elazar. Kav Rav Mefta Minei Rav Yochanan. Rav Elazar was Rav Yochanan's Talmud. When he would go away from Rav Yochanan. Can have a boy Rav Yochanan Leskuyei. When Rav Yochanan walked out of the room. Have a kochen koi Rav Elazar Duchtei. Rav Elazar would bow. Standing in his place. Ad a have a michse Rav Yochanan. Until Rav Yochanan was no longer seen to him. But could have a boy Rav Elazar Leskuyei. Where Rav Elazar wanted to leave the room in which Rabbi Yochanan was, have a ka'ozel achura, he would walk backwards, add the michsim in Rabbi Yochanan until he no longer saw Rabbi Yochanan. Rava could have a miftim in Rabbi Yosef. When Rava would leave Rabbi Yosef, have a ozel achura, he would walk backwards, add the menachvin tare until his legs were bruised, or matzvin escoops of the Rabbi Yosef Dhamma. And the threshold of Rabbi Yosef's house was full of blood from the wound that Rava incurred. Amalei le Rabbi Yosef, they told Rabbi Yosef, Hachi Avid Rava, this is what Rava does. Amalei, so he said, Rabbi Yosef said to Rava, Ye Rava the Torah Reshecha Kula Karcha. You should become the leader of the entire city. So Rabbi Yosef, Rashi says, blessed and they should become the Rosh Yeshiva. Others say that originally in that city there were two yeshivas, the yeshiva of Abai and Rava, and he says that Mashiach explains this way, that Rav Yosef's bracha to Rava was that the two yeshivas should combine into one, and you should be the Rosh Yeshiva of both yeshivas. And the Mefarshim explain, why did Rav Yosef give Rava this bracha? Since he showed Kavodat Torah, somebody who shows Kavodat Torah is zeichet to become a Rosh Yeshiva, to have atzlocha in Limudat Torah, zeichet that he should become the recipient of Kavodat Torah. There's a machlokes in the Mefarshim, how to understand the story of Rav and Rav Yosef. For we know that Rav Yosef was blind. So some explain that, the Sfasemus explains, that this story took place before Rav Yosef got blind. Because if we learned on Amud Aleph that one only has to walk backwards from his Rebbe as long as his Rebbe could see him, if Rav Yosef was blind, he couldn't see him, so he didn't have to walk backwards. So it must be before Rav Yosef got blind. However, most Mepharshim learned that this story took place before, after Rav Yosef got blind, and Rav showed a very high level of Kavanat Torah. What's the proof? Because you see that Rav didn't walk sideways either. We learned in Amud Aleph that the way to walk away from the Rebbe is sideways. Rav walked backwards, hurting himself. So Rav was Lefnim Mishur Sadin, and that's why he got this special bracha. This is a relevant question, because the question is, does one have to show Kavanat Torah to someone who's blind, who doesn't realize that you're showing him covet? According to Sfasemus, perhaps not. According to other Mepharshim, perhaps Kavanat Torah has to be shown even to someone who's blind. You just don't have to injure yourself, you can walk out sideways. Rav's Lefnim Mishur Sadin was that he walked sideways. And the Paiskim discuss, based on this Gemara, the Shaila, how one could stand in front of an Aron Kodesh when one gives a speech in front of the Aron HaKodesh, and his back is to the Aron HaKodesh. So they explain there are two reasons to be makel. One is because the Aron HaKodesh is considered a Rishus B'fnei Atzmai, a separate area, since it's above your Tfachim, it's above 10 Tfachim from the ground. So since it's a separate area, one could stand there with his back, especially when the purpose of his standing there is Kavanat Torah. He's saying a drasha in teaching Klal Yisrael Torah, or teaching Klal Yisrael the proper way how to act. However, if not for those circumstances, the Paiskim indicate one would not be allowed to stand with his back to the Aron Kodesh. And in fact, that's why one should be careful that when setting up seats in a shul, so if there are seats in front of the bima where the people are facing the back of the Aron, the Paiskim explain that is not an issue, because the bima serves as a separation between those people and the Aron Kodesh. But if there are seats in front of the bima, in front of the Aron Kodesh, those seats should not be set up in a way where the people sitting there have their back on a regular basis to the Aron Kodesh. However, if there's a purpose, like we explained, like when we say L'chadoidi, when we say Bayi B'Sholayim, we're turning around to greet Shabbos, coupled with the fact that the Aron Kodesh is a separate Rishos, one could turn around. The Miches Yitzchak and other Paiskim discuss the Shaila, how could one allow a Bar Mitzvah boy to make a drasha standing in front of the Aron HaKodesh? His drasha is not L'kavanat Torah. And in fact, the Miches Yitzchak says perhaps that's not where a Bar Mitzvah boy should stand when he says his drasha. However, the Shail Tshuvas Chelkas Yaakov says that one may stand, even a Bar Mitzvah boy may stand there, since he's standing and saying Dvar Torah, and the purpose is to show him that as he becomes of a mitzvah, his number one priority should be Limud HaTorah. That's called Kavod HaTorah, and a mitzvah boy may stand in front of the Aron HaKodesh to say his drasha. Amar Alexandri, Amar Bishu Malevi, Hamaf Spalo. When somebody davens, when he finishes the Shmon Esrei, Tzorich Shiafsia Sholosh Psias Lacharav, he has to take 3 steps backwards. V'achach Yiten Shalom, and then he should give Shalom. There's 2 ways of explaining who he gives Shalom to. Some say he says Shalom to Hashem, that he's leaving in Kodesh Baruch Hu, so he says Shalom, says goodbye. Others say the Shalom is to the people around him. Till now he was separated from them, he was with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and now he's coming to say Shalom back to them. There are many reasons given for these 3 steps. Some Mepharshim explain it corresponds to the 3 milim that Klal Yisrael were separated from Har Sinai by Kabbalah Torah. Others explain that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went up to Kabbalah's Torah, to Har Sinai, he went through three mechitzos, Choshech, Oshon, Varofel. So we too also go through three steps. Others explain that it's because Nebuchadnezzar, the Mashal explains this way, that Nebuchadnezzar, when he went out to greet Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he took three steps, and that's how he was able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So corresponding to that, we should certainly take three steps in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others explain Pshat is that, as we said before, when one is standing in Shemoneh Esrei, he's standing in the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so now he has to step away from the place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has to go into another Rishus. Another Pshat that Rav Haigoin gives is that when the Kohanim would go up to the Mizbeach, they would take three steps right before they went on to the Mizbeach. Corresponding to that, we take three steps. And the last Pshat, the sixth Pshat, is that the Pasuk says regarding the Malachim, Ragleihem Regel Yeshoro. Ragleihem is Lashon Rabbim, which means two, and Regel is the third step. Just like the Malachim takes three steps, we too also should take three steps. Amalei Reb Motcha. So they said, so Reb Motcha said, Kivin Shepasa Shalos Psiyas Lacharav. Once somebody takes three steps backwards, Hosni Boilei Lamekim, he should stand over there. Moshlo Talmud Aniftim Rabbi, just like when a Talmud leaves his Rebbe in Chayzel Alter, if he goes right back to where he was, Doima, he's similar Lekelev Sheshov Alkei, to dog that returns to its vomit. So here too, the Gemara is teaching us that when one takes the three steps back, he should remain there for a while. We'll discuss soon what the while, how much that is. But the reason is that because if he goes right back, it shows, and there's a number of explanations in the Mefarshim. The Taz explains that it shows that this entire exercise of taking three steps backward was meaningless, because he right away walked back. Others say that during tefillah, one is misvada, one says vidui, and if somebody walks right back, it seems that he already feels that he has to say vidui again. And of course, that's not acceptable. If he said vidui, we have to believe that Kodesh Baruch Hu heard our vidui and accepted our vidui. Along the same lines, if somebody goes right back to where he stood when he davened, it shows that he believes his tefillah didn't accomplish anything. They have to walk right back, which is a terrible disgrace of our belief of what tefillah is about. As Rav Chaim Briska explains, that somebody who finishes davening and doesn't take the proper approach and understand what davening is, his davening is worthless. A person has to understand that his davening was an opportunity to speak to Hashem, and Hashem listens to our tefillos, and therefore somebody should take that approach to his tefillah. Tanya Nami Hochi. Hamspalu, when one daven tzarech shi'asiya sholosh psiyas lacharev, he should take three steps back, vakach yitein sholem, and then he should say sholem. From Lo'asakein, if he doesn't do this, roi lo shi'asiyah, he should better not have daven. Mishmishmai omer, shi'noshin sholem liyamin, first he says sholem to the right side, vakach l'smol, and then to the left side. Shinema, miminoi eish tos lomai, the Torah was given from the right side. The Omer in the Pasuk also says, Yipa Mitzitcha Elef, 1,000 will fall from your side, or Revava Miminecha, 10,000 from your left, right side. My Omer, why do we need another Pasuk to prove to us the power of the right side? V'chitaymo, Orcha de Milsehi, L'meisa B'yamin, one would think that the prayer was given the right side because most people use the right hand, but not to prove that the right hand is any more powerful. That's why the pasuk says. That's what the Gemara says. Another pasuk, Yipa Betzitcha Elef or Vavim Minecha. Rava Chazi Labaya, Rava Swabai, the Yav Sholo Yimina Bereisha. They bow down to the right side first. Amalei Misavret Limindedach. He did not mean your right side. Lesmaldedach Kamin. He meant your left side. Davyimino Shakadosh Baruch Hu, which is the right of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because when somebody is facing someone else, his left faces the other person's right. So we bow down to the left, which is facing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right. Amrav Chiyah B'Rei Rav Huna, Chazino L'Labai V'Rava, I saw Abai V'Rava, the Pasuk L'Sholosh P'Siyos, B'Kriyachas, that they would take the 3 steps back in, as they were bowing. So la'alocha l'maisa, there's a lot of different menhagim, but we will try to explain what the Mishnah Berurah says. He says that the way one should step backwards is he should bow, he should finish the Shemoneh Esrei, bow down, take the 3 steps. Now the 3 steps, the Mishnah Berurah says, the first step should be with the left foot, a short step, then a longer step with the right foot, and then a shorter step with the left foot, where he will have now both feet together. Then he should say, Oysa Shalom b'mroimov, bowing down to the left side. Then he said, Yasa Shalom Aleinu, he should bow down to the right side. And then he should bow down one more time to his front, like a Talmud who goes away from his Rebbe. And then he says, you should be mispalel, Yiratzon Lefanecha, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu should build the Beit HaMikdash. The Kodesh Baruch Hu should build the Beit HaMikdash. And the Mishnah Berurah says the same goes for Kaddish. He should say this, he should walk back and bow down, and then say the Oysa Shalom b'mroimav. How long should he stand back in the place? Like we just saw, they shouldn't walk back immediately. So the Rif says he should stand there until the Chazan begins the Chazar Shashatz. The Rambam says he should stand in that place until the Chazan comes to, until the Shliach Tzibur comes to Kedusha. And there are other days that say that if he stands there, the amount of time it takes to walk Dalet Amos, 4 Amos is adequate. The Shulchan Aruch says the L'chatchila one should wait till the Shliach Tzibur begins Kedusha. If not, wait at least the amount of time of the Rif. There are people that only wait the time it takes to say to walk Dalet Amos. The Aruch HaShulchan tells us that let's say someone is davening in a shul where it's crowded and he can't walk backwards because walking, there's just no way to walk backwards. There's somebody behind him, or there's just one bench right in front of the other bench. So the Aruch HaShulchan says he could walk to the side. And actually the Aruch HaShulchan brings a raya from a Gemara that we learned on Amud Aleph. The Gemara Amud Aleph said that when one walks away from his Rebbe, he could walk to the side, even though you're supposed to walk backwards. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, from here we see that walking to the side is equal to walking to the back. And the halach is that even when one is davening b'yichidus at home or in shul b'yichidus, and he can't wait, there's no kedusha, there's no shlich tzibur, he still has to wait at least the time to walk Dalet Amos. And Rav Shlomo Zalman says a very big chiddush. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that even when one is davening in a sitting position, he's on a wheelchair, Rachman Utslan, he should still step back, move backwards after davening, based on the Gemara that showed, that we just learned, that shows such importance to such act. So we learned in the Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol umespalel tefillah ketzara beis achitzin, that after leaving the Kodesh Kedoshim, he davens a short tefillah. My matzli, why did he daven? Rabbi Barav Adin, the Rabbi Barav Adin, today Mishmei the Rav Amri, that he would say, Yiratzal Fanech Hashem Elokeinu, Shetei Zoyen Ezug Shuma Veshchuna. This year should be rainy and hot. Ask the Gemara, Shchuna, Mal Yisahi, is it a Maila, is it something advantageous that it should be a hot year? Well, Eimer, what he said was, Im Shchuna, if it's going to be hot, it should be rainy, and the rain will take away the heat, especially when it's hot, there's a need for great rain. The Rambam explains that the reason that the Kohen Gadol was mispalel this tefillah about the weather, he said, because most health issues, most diseases come from bad weather, and Kohen Gadol was actually davening that Klal Yisrael should remain healthy. The Gevurah Sari explains that the Gemara says that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu holds back rain because of the Aveira of Lashon Hara. Says the Gevurah Sari that here we know, we learned that the Ketoris is mechaper on the Aveira of Lashon Hara. So since it's mechaper on the Aveira of Lashon Hara, that's why now he could daven for rain. And he furthermore davened, Rav Acha Berei, the Rav Messiah, Rav Shmei, Rav Yehuda, they would daven lo ya'adish ovid shultim beis Yehuda. The rulership of Klal Yisrael should not leave the house of Yehuda. Klai Yisrael shouldn't require sustenance one from each other. They should have panasa. And the tefillah, people who are traveling on the road, the daven that there should be no rain, should not come to you. So the Mefarshim explain, why did he daven for Beis Yehuda together with Panasa? Because the Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that David HaMelech would get up every night by Chatzos to daven and learn, and then in the morning he would start being concerned about the Panasa of Klal Yisrael. So that's why the Panasa of Klal Yisrael and the Malchus Yehuda come together. And the Mefarshim explained, like the Gvura Sari that we said a moment ago, that since we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, which is shown by Lashon Hara, now that we had the Kapara on Lashon Hara, which is essentially Kapara on Sinas Chinam, we could be mispalel for Mashiach, we could be mispalel that the Beis HaMikdash should remain standing with Malchus Beis David over us. The Mefarshim ask, why did the Kohen Gadol say this tefillah about Beis Yehuda in Lashon Aramis? So they explain, the Gra says that Dvarim Shebitzav, a pasuk, Yat Rishayim Lo'amrim Balpeh, may not be said not from inside the Chumash. But the Kohen Gadol couldn't carry a Chumash inside the Beis HaMikdash, so he couldn't say the pasuk of Lo Yosur Shev Ben Yehuda. That's why he said it B'Lashon Arami. And in fact, when you look in the Rambam, the Rambam does have it in Hebrew, but he doesn't have the exact lashon of the Torah. The Torah says, La'yosu shevet mi Yehuda. The Rambam says, La'yosu shevet mi debes Yehuda. Why doesn't he have the exact terminology that's used in the Torah? Because he said it ba'peh. Others explain that the halach is that a tefillah ba'ramis may only be said b'tzibur. Here, the Kohen Gadol was b'yechidus, but he still said the tefillah b'aramis to show the power of his tefillah on Yom Kippur. That even though normally a yochid, an individual davening, should not be mispalel b'aramis, but here, because it was the Kohen Gadol, or here because it was the Beis HaMikdash, or here because it was Yom Kippur, and certainly when all of these factors are combined, one could daven even b'yechidus b'aramis and know that the tefillah will be accepted by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, who doesn't need malachim to help that tefillah go up. Rav Chanina ben Doisav Ka'oz V'Aruch says the Gemara, Rav Chanina ben Doisav was walking on the way, Shadr Mitra Lay, and the rain came down. Amar Ribbono Shel Olam, Kol Olam Kula B'Nachas, everybody is enjoying the comfort of being home and this rain, which will bring crops. V'Chanina B'Tzar, I'm walking in the rain. Pasak Mitra, so the rain stopped. Kiosla Beisa, when he got home, Omar, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kol Olam Kula B'Tzar, everybody's upset that there is no rain. V'Chanina B'Nachas, Asa Mitra, the rain came. And like Rabbi Yoshev explains, the limit of this Gemara is to show, as powerful as we just explained, is the tefillah of a Kohen Gadol, that doesn't come to the power of a Talmud Chacham's tefillah, the tefillah of Chanina. Omar, Rabbi Yosef, that's what the Gemara says, Maya Hanelait Slus the Kohen Gadol, what does the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol help the Gabriel of Chanina ben Doisa regarding, in comparison to Rav Chanina ben Doisa's tefillah, who's so much more powerful? The Mashar asks, how could Rav Chanina ben Doisa acted this way, to mispalel there should be no rain when the world needs rain? So Mashar explains, when Rav Chanina was mispalel, the world did not need rain yet. It only required rain when he got home. The Ben Yoyod explains that given that Rav Chanina was a very poor person, so he didn't even own a raincoat, so he had no choice but to mispalel that the rain should hold off until he gets home. Tan Rabbanan, Ma'is b'Kohen Gadol Echad She'erech b'Tfilosai. There was a story of one Kohen Gadol, the Mefarshim explained it was Shimon HaTzadik, who spent a long time davening. V'ninu Echva Kohanav Le'Kohanis Akrav, and the Kohanim decided they're going to go in after him to see what's going on. His chiyohem nechnasim, they started entering the Beis HaMikdash, who yotzin and came out. Amaloi, so they asked him, "Menei ma'arach bet filoscha, why did you spend so much time davening? Amalei kosh ben nechash palalte lechem, is it something that's difficult for you that I davened on your behalf? Va Beis HaMikdash, for the Beis HaMikdash shalai lecharev, that shouldn't be destroyed. Amaloi, atahei rogel lasis, can you shouldn't do this? Shereshaninu, as we learned in our Mishnah, loi hayo ma'arach bet filosai, the Kohen Gadol shouldn't have davened for a long time. The Klal Yisrael shouldn't get scared that Chas V'Shalom something happened to him, and that's why he didn't come out yet. Mefarshim explains that this took place during the last year of Shimon HaTzadik's life. That we learned earlier in the Masechta that during that year, when Shimon HaTzadik went in, he saw Kadosh Baruch Hu Loiv Shchayrim, Masatav Shchayrim, and he took that as a bad sign, and that's why that year he spent more time in davening. The Meretz Chayis proves from this Gemara that Mishnayos were already written before the times of Rebbe, because the time of Shimon HaTzadik, the time of the Kohen Gadol, was long before Rebbe wrote the Mishnayos. Yet the Gemara says Sherei Sheninu, that we have a Mishnah, so we see that the Mishnayos were already written earlier. The Mashal quotes the Targum Yonasan ben Oziel, who says that the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur was not limited to tefillahs that are listed in this Gemara, but whatever Klal Yisrael needed, that was what the Kohen Gadol would be mispalel for. He says that the Kohen Gadol would be mispalel that no one should Chas V'Shalom kill another Jew by accident. That's why the Targum Yonasan ben Oziel says that if one does kill another Jew by accident, it's the Kohen Gadol's death that is the time that the person can leave the Aron Miklat, because the Kohen Gadol should be mispalel that it shouldn't have happened. He should have been mispalel when he was standing outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim Yom Kippur. So we see the Mashal says that the tefillah should not be limited just to what the Gemara here says. However, we'll end the Gemara with a very powerful vort from the Majid Sereba. The Gemara here says that the Kohen Gadol davened v'lasikanes lefanecha tefillas oivrei drachim, that the tefillah of people who are on the road should not enter. So he asked the Majid Sereba, here we have the Kohen Gadol, have we been describing in the Shir, was in such a powerful position when he said this tefillah as he left the Beis HaMikdash, and he's davening that it should be a rainy year. So because there's somebody on the road who's going to be uncomfortable because of the rain, so his tefillah is more powerful that the Kohen Gadol should be concerned, explains the Majid Sereba. From here we see the power of the tefillah of every Jew. A Jew who's betzar, a Jew who's traveling b'ovrei drachim, he's on the road and it starts to rain and it's hard for him to travel, and this Yid gives a krecht and the Yid gives a sigh to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, help me, I can't travel in this rain. How powerful is that tefillah? And the only antidote to that tefillah is the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol and the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur.